he believes to be of quality. But there is, unseen by most, an episodic horror-based TV show. A show that still holds up. A show called Tales from the Dark Side.
Life is a stage, my son, and only the best actors win.
Do you get my drift, son? Do you see the way things really are?
Hey, what's up, and welcome back to Talks from the Dark Side, the podcast where we talk about the 80s horror anthology television show, Tales from the Dark Side, created by George Romero and Richard Rubenstein. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Today we're talking about If the Shoe Fits, written by David Gerald and Armand Mastroianni, and directed by Armand Mastroianni from May 12th, 1985.
So right off the gate here, we have to say, this is a pretty fun episode. What do you think?
It is the wackiest one of the season, easily.
I really like it. I think
goofy.
It's good. Yeah.
It's so goofy.
It's a great political satire.
Oh.
And it's just a we'll get into it, but like there's so many weird aspects to this. Yeah. From alcoholism to supernatural entity. This has like a very it has like a very Shining feel to it.
Yeah.
Like
it feels like a Tales episode, don't get me wrong, but it's like, you're right, we've had episodes that have had comedy in it, and there's been a couple that the comedy's been more in the forefront than the horror or the supernatural, but this one is just, outside of some stuff like when you put yourself in the literal shoes of the character, like the rest is all comedy. Like they're having some existential crisis going on here, but the viewer and everybody else is laughing at this motherfucker hardcore.
I think this thing is you laugh at it, not with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it works so well, because it's obviously silly and goofy, but like, again, the satirical elements in this really are fucking great.
And it's a topic, you know, we don't really ever get heavy into politics, but the political satire is just, it's something that I found hilarious throughout, because I'm like,
it's over the top, it's silly, it's and goofy. That's the one word we have to really stress here.
Yeah,
it's a goofy episode.
Well, that's my politics. Yeah. It's all bullshit.
And like, look at all this, like, look at all the set dressing we have.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah.
Like, you get the idea of what.
Don't forget,
vote for Gum.
Vote for Bo Gums. Yeah. Vote for Bo Gums.
Yeah.
Barbecue. Barbecue
the
sauce.
American dream.
The American dream. Happiness. Chicks with tits walking around parades, banging on drums. America. Barbecue.
BBQ.
Good old fashioned American food. Apples. You can eat an apple for the kids. Popcorn, peanuts,
that's
clams.
Pretty much how.
Yeah. That's how this guy is. Yeah. That's how he talks. Yep. That's the mentality here.
Yep. That he's everybody's happy candidate.
That everybody's a fucking fool. And they just want to be happy. They don't care about the tax increase.
No, as long as they're putting on a show.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get too into it because we're going to talk about it. But that's, I just love that it's just lampooning these politicians that are full of shit.
Yeah. And you got to entertain the little people like us, you know?
Yep.
As we find out.
So this is based on a short story by Lewis Haber.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was in that Tales from the Dark Side book. That we have the novelization versions of it.
I don't remember.
I don't know if it's there or where to find it, but we'll get back to you on that one. But I know we kind of already let the cat out of the bag on this one, but let's go to the Fangoria synopsis.
So here's the official synopsis from the official Fangoria episode guide. A glad-handing, phony politician arrives at a remote hotel intending to win the favor of the local yokels. Local yokels. There it is.
Yeah, there you go. I like that little local alliteration there.
Yeah. With a parade of meaningless pomp. The campaign trail takes an unexpected twist when the hotel bellboy and maid literally transform the candidate into a circus clown complete with floppy shoes. There it is.
I mean, they fit. Or rather, do they fit?
If the shoes fit, yeah, for sure.
Right off the fucking bat, man. And this is one of those ones outside of like the end scene. That's all one location, just this hotel room.
Oh, yeah. I really like that about... Well, there's two locations, technically.
The campaign manager.
The other office.
Yeah.
before we get into the nitty gritty of the episode, then let me introduce some of these people. So this is directed by Armand Mastroianni. Now, this was crazy because we were sitting there and that's just not a name that's familiar to me.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought he was the Troll 2 guy.
No, that's
right out of my fucking brain. See you later. But he did do The Clairvoyant. He Knows You're Alone. The Supernaturals was a big one. I was like, holy, I didn't realize that he did that. Cameron's Closet was another one. And he did 8 episodes of Friday the 13th, the series.
So he's actually like in this little world of like 85 around this world of like horror and stuff. He's got some serious, you know, credits under his
belt. He's kinging and he's picking up all of these like side gigs doing the TV shows. And that's it's in his element, too, which is fucking cool.
Yeah.
So good for him.
And it's like if you look at what he's done and then this episode, it's like that's kind of a weird.
It's a weird contrast to it. Yeah. And this is written by David Gerrold. Now, I just wanted to bring him up real quick because he's done a lot of Star Trek stuff for Deep Space Nine and Babylon 5.
A lot of it.
And he did a lot of the 80s Twilight Zones. He did a couple real Ghostbusters episodes, and he wrote for Sliders, among other things. There's a bunch of other stuff. But I thought that was pretty impressive. Yeah.
So this one finally has some like credits we can talk about.
Yeah.
The other ones are like, oh, this guy did a Monsters episode.
Yeah, that was it.
That's gonna yeah. But here we got some people with some actual, you know, credits on your belt.
I mean, even our lead character, as he walks in the room, Bo Gums, played by Dick Shawn. Not this Dick Shawn.
Shawn's dick.
Yeah. No.
There's the dick joke.
couldn't help myself. Sorry. I'm familiar with him from the original producers. He plays, I forget the name of the character, but the guy who comes in to play Hitler that they think is going to tank the fucking show.
That's him?
Yeah. And
oh my God.
He's so flamboyant and saying all his lines wrong that obviously if you've seen the producers, it does really well, and then Mel Brooks is sweating big time.
Yeah, springtime for Hitler in Germany.
Yes. So I was like, holy shit.
And his other fun little credit is he's the voice of the Snow Miser.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Yeah. White Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow.
That's him.
Yeah. Wow. That's kind of wild, too.
I think we've had two Rankin and Bass alumni so far on this show. The first one is What's-His-Face from... I'll Give You a Million.
Yeah,
did the Winter Warlock from Year Without a Santa Claus.
Oh, my favorite.
No, not Year Without a Santa Claus.
That's this one.
Santa Claus is coming
Santa
to town.
Santa Claus is coming to town, yeah. 1 foot in front of... I think I sang it on the episode, but now I have a visual to add to it.
He's also in Love at First Bite, the 80s Twilight Zone, Shelley Duvall's Fairy Tale Theater. Ah. Hi, I'm Shelley Duvall.
Let's put that clip in there.
Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall. Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall. Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall. Hello. I'm Shelley Duvall. Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall. Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall. Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall. Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall.
Amazing Stories he's been in. Angel?
Yep, he was in Angel, the first one.
Yeah, there's 3 of those movies.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the TV show.
No. Angel, like the street walking, you know, she's a street...
Student by day, streetwalker by night.
Yeah.
Never even heard of it.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
You mean you're not familiar with the Angel trilogy?
Now I am. Now I got to look it up.
Holy Angel trilogy.
Also coming to Criterion Collection.
Yeah. We're going to keep that joke going from the last episode.
Somebody just put that out. Like the Angel trilogy. Or one of them.
Vinegar Syndrome.
They must have. I feel like I just saw Avenging Angel somewhere. Okay. Yeah. Somebody put it out. Or Severin or somebody. I don't know.
So where does Michael fit in on the Angel trilogy?
He's also in Captain EO.
Really?
Yeah, the ride that I had the pleasure of experiencing again as an adult, but apparently it's gone again, so that sucks.
Yeah, I
saw it. The Michael Jackson, George Lucas classic.
Yeah, I saw it probably a decade back. Yeah. So it's,
oh, you did?
I think behind the scenes ballpark bullshit, but it's like...
Just remember that a decade back is like...
It might have been longer. It actually might have been when I was like 18, so maybe 10 or 12 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw in the 90s.
Yeah.
Back in like the prime Epcot days.
Yeah.
I saw it then, and then I saw it like as an adult. It was great.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it was there.
My one memory of like seeing Captain EO is throwing... this is one of those memories that just sticks in your brain. Is like throwing a thing of ice cream into like the 3D glasses bin. Oh, you know, you're supposed to give them back.
You fucking did.
Whatever. I was a kid.
I distinctly remember the first time I saw it when I was younger. Not to go off on a whole dot, you know, Captain EO side tangent, but I remember the theater was fairly packed. Maybe not to the brims, but it was packed. Saw it again when I was like in my late teens. It was like barely anybody in there.
It was the greatest day because Epcot does the Food and Wine Fest. So I literally went around in a big circle and drank and ate delicious foods and drinks and then saw fucking Captain EO. It was the best day of the whole trip. Yeah.
Sign me up. Yeah. Well, I know we can't now, but...
Dessert with Michael Jackson. Shout out to Michael Jackson.
So, Bogums.
Yes. Yep.
Mr. Gums.
Let's get back to him.
Mr. Bogums.
Mr. Gumbos, maybe.
This guy's an asshole.
Oh, this yeah.
Like both hardcore. Right to say.
You don't say. He is a Southern fried jackass who is just... mugging to everybody. He's like, oh, the little people, and like, oh, you know, I'll go vote for Bogum.
He's like permanently at like an 11 with everybody he talks to.
I can't wait. We're gonna go have some barbecue and there's gonna be a fucking marching band and we're gonna,
it's like, shut up.
Political shit.
He's like that pimple in the back of your ass you just can't reach and it's like throbbing.
He's in like a fucking periwinkle suit.
Yeah. And they kind of had to play this up, and you know, you find out as the episode goes on that there's something else happening, but the maid character, I guess I'll call her, and the bellhop, they kind of intentionally make them seem like they don't, they're not all there, they're not playing with a full deck.
That's the whole thing, because he perceives them as idiots.
Right.
Yeah.
So then, therefore, they are idiots.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, talking down to him, it's like, listen, Peter. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Peter, that's a you're a little boy, that's a good name for a little boy. Yeah. Or what does he say to Mimi? He's like, Mimi, that's a little name for a woman of big stature, corpulent. Yeah. Super Mario Brothers, everybody!
She's corpulent, very corpulent. Yeah. But yeah, she leaves the room, and I love this bit where Bogums actually shows up, he's got like a fruit platter there, and she takes a bite out of an apple and just turns it around and puts it back.
That's a great joke, because it comes back later in like the best way.
Yep.
But he gets a call from like his campaign manager, and immediately the switch turns off, but you know, this guy, he doesn't have any spatial awareness, we find out.
Well, yeah.
Or does he?
So there's a maid and a bellhop, and they're like the two main characters. They're always in the room, like doing shit for him and getting him stuff. And he gets a call from his campaign manager. And again, he's like, Bo, I got, everybody's breathing down my neck. Like, are you going to talk about the tax breaks and the scholarship thing, the insurance payments, or like all of the, you know, actual shit that people are worried about, you know,
like important topics
that he needs to tackle. And he's like, I don't give a shit. Yeah. He's like, they don't care about all that tax, but they want to eat barbecue with barbecue, extra sauce in every pan.
I became a politician for the orgies and the cocaine, obviously. Oh, Peter, you're in the room still? Hey, Peter, you didn't hear any of that.
No, he did. And he's like, that's how you handle it, man. That's how you handle things, son. A jackass.
And then, you know, Peter's just like, okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gums. I appreciate it, Mr. Gums.
And we're kind of at this point now that you've got the setup, like you already kind of know this guy's a douchebag. But then when you see him make that phone call, like you're really getting it. And it's like, all right, what is the angle here? And he's like, well, Peter, let me tell you all about it. And you get this like this shot of Peter like, oh, yes. Yeah. Explain it. It's like, all right, what's up with this Peter guy? Something's off.
You know, Peter. Politics is a game.
It's entertainment.
It's a show. Yeah. You got to entertain the little people. Want. Give them what they want.
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's just like sitting there, just listen. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Like, Bogums.
Completely devoid of like thought.
And I love how he literally has like his campaign poster like in the fucking hotel room.
Yeah, it tells the guy to hang it up on the wall, like on the hotel. Yeah, just puts up his little poster.
It's like a picture of him and he's like going like this and it says
the
like
friendliest candidate.
The happy candidate.
Happy candidate. So
need to get that poster.
Yeah.
Make him print it up.
He takes his suit off. Like Joe said, it's like kind of this like light, you know, baby blue periwinkle kind of suit. And he's in this like ridiculous like vote for Gums like tank top. Yeah. And he's got like these white, you know, boxer shorts that just have American flags all over them and two big ones on each ass cheek.
Star spangled undergarments.
Yeah. And he's practicing a speech for this big barbecue he's going to.
But he orders like a thing of bourbon, too.
Bring up the bourbon, Mimi. So she comes in with it and he's like dancing with her and stuff and being a real scumbag. He's like, watch how I handle the little people.
Still just such an asshole.
It's gross. Like, oh, why thank you, Miss Mimi. Yeah. You're the greatest.
And they're all just trying to be civil and like polite to him. Yeah, and he's like, working for those tips.
Yeah. And he's like, the things I do for a vote or some shit
for
like
two
that.
Votes.
Two measly votes.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, dude.
Yes.
So then his whole thing is like, you know, Peter, you're going to, you know, press this suit for me and bring it back. And like, you know, then he's practicing his speech and he's like, where the hell is that boy? So then he gets a knock on the door. They got the suit. Well, the if you're paying attention, you're like, what the? This suit looks off.
Dude, he got that from the Killer Clowns. It's like in this like silvery, sparkly bag.
Glittering as the guy's bringing it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not really paying attention.
Well,
he hangs
it up in the closet. Yeah.
So then, you know, Peter leaves. He finally starts opening up this fucking this cellophane, and he's like, what? This isn't my suit!
Mind you, he's been drinking.
Oh, he's loaded.
Like, the past couple hours.
And guy he calls, I guess his like
the campaign
manager
Louis. Calls him,
And he's like, you're not hitting that sauce, are you? He's like, no! He's got a glass in his hand.
Yeah. Because he's like, Bo, where the hell are you? It's almost time to start. Mm. And he's like, Louis, you hear that? And there's like circus music
just going insane.
Yeah, he's just going crazy. Like he's having the DTs or some shit.
Right. I love that with the circus music because he keeps hearing that. And he's like, you just said, are you hearing that? He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I don't hear circus
music. There's a circus in town?
And someone's fucking with me.
He's like, I ain't going to be competing with no circus. Yeah. You better run them out of town.
You're going to a fucking barbecue. What are you even talking about? Yeah. Get some cotton candy while you're there. Screw it.
But throughout this whole exchange, before he opens the suit, I just wanted to mention this.
Sure.
Peter is like disappearing and reappearing in places. And he thinks that he leaves. And he's like, oh, where you been? Son? Where did you come from, son? And the whole time he's fucking drinking. And he's
just
like
hitting the sauce.
Yeah.
And that comes up a couple times because we were laughing when we saw it. It's like they say sauce. Like, you want that sauce again?
Well, his campaign manager's like, whoa. God damn it, Bo, my ulcer is on fire. Like, you better not be
hitting my belly.
Yeah, you better not be hitting that sauce again.
Yeah, with Peter, it's like he comes in and out of the room a couple times, and it's like the way it's shot.
Yeah.
When he's like, when, you know, Bo's in the shower, like singing to himself and everything, got a little shower cap on and everything.
Yeah, well, it's creepy. Yeah, because the hands come in and like take his suit.
It's definitely shot in like a weird way.
Yeah.
Where it's like first person coming in the room, you see the clothes in the bed and everything, and the hand just comes in.
I like too, but you're right. Before he actually opens the suit, there is one other thing that it's not important, but I like it because it does play into a joke later. Where when he brings the suit in, Peter, he also has like a vase of flowers. He's like, "Yeah, one of your supporters gave this to you, or the hotel or something." He's like, "Ah, isn't that nice? The little people.
How very neighborly of them."
Yeah,
give this rose to Miss Mimi for me, would you?
It's kind of great.
Yeah.
And then, he does open up the suit and he's like, what the fuck? And it's actually, I think,
ridiculous.
Bigger than this, honestly.
It's so ridiculous.
It's a huge button that says like folk gums. Yeah. And it's a clown suit with like the big hula hoop belt.
And it's like his clothes that he left in the bed to have pressed.
Gigantic tie.
Clown, clown version.
The bow tie's like this big. And he's like, and he just laughs at it and puts it in the closet and closes it. Because he's fucking drunk at this point.
Yeah. He's sauced.
And he's like, that's crazy. But then the door keeps opening. And this time when it opens, like there's like a light shining on the suit.
Oh, yeah,
It's weird.
Like a ghost or something's opening it.
Yeah, Roger Cobb's house. That's where he's staying. Yeah, in his grandma's room.
Big Ben keeps opening it on him. Yeah.
It's a raccoon in the closet.
Mick Garris' son. Steve Myers, whoever the fuck it was. One of them.
Steve Myers.
With that horrible haircut, by the way.
Anyway.
Anyway, so then he's like, he's talking to Peter. What the hell did you do with my suit? This isn't my suit. He's like, what are you talking about? Yes, it is. Try it on.
But it looks so nice on you, Mr. Gums. Put on the pants. Try them on.
And he doesn't even like argue with him.
He's like, this is stupid.
He's like, it's a little silly.
I mean, he's like stupid. This at this point. Like,
yeah, and he just puts them on. Come on, try them on. I'm sure it'll be great.
Well, Mr. Gums, of course it's silly. You don't have your jacket on yet. Put the jacket on, Mr. Gums. It's going to look great.
He's so confused.
Yeah. He's like, I don't, what?
And then when he does get it all on, he just is like, I look like a fucking clown. And he's like, oh, forgetting one detail. He reaches for one of those roses, puts it in the pocket. And he's like, what the heck? What is that going to do?
Peter, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah. And I love that it's a prop, a flower that just shoots water out of it randomly. Yeah. Kind of great.
So
it's so silly.
So his campaign manager knocks on the door and he's like freaking out, like crying, like in his, like, I don't know. He's doing this thing where he's like bent over, like looking through his legs. And he's like, Bo, what the fuck are you doing, Bo? He's like, do you have any idea what time it is? We got to get to this goddamn barbecue. And he's like, look, I can't go out dressed like this. And he's like, Bo, what are you talking about? You're wearing your suit. You look fine.
Turns around. He's completely normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they do a zoom in on the fucking Jack Daniels on the counter.
You've been hitting that sauce again, haven't you, Bo?
Louis's like, what are you doing? He's like, don't worry about it. But in his mind, which, again, you know, I love that about this episode, that they're just making him see what he really is, a fucking clown.
Yeah, and that's the best part about it. So he's like, I don't look strange to you? And he's like, Bo, you look like yesterday's grits. Nah, I'm just fucking with you. You're fine. Like, it'll be fine. Let's go. We like enough bullshit. All right,
we're a little public appearance. It's a little late in the campaign if you're working on your appearance.
Change how you look. So he leaves, but he grabs the apple that Mimi took a bite of
from the beginning of the episode.
He goes to bite it, and there's a bite out of it, and he thinks Bo did it.
It's like one of those like quick throwaway gags.
Oh yeah,
it's like they didn't have to throw that in there.
No, but it's like Bo has done something like that before, or like that is like the incarnate of what this man's done to this guy, right? He always get like, you know, takes a bite out of his apple or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, before getting handed it to him, right?
The personification of the bullshit that he puts this guy through.
So then he's kind of still like, oh man, I don't know if I could do this, because to him, he still sees the clown outfit. And Peter and Mimi are like, it's okay, Mr. Gums. It'll be okay. Oh, Mr. Gums, put your shoes on, Mr. Gums.
Oh, that's great.
The silly ass clown shoes.
Giant clown shoes.
The title, if you will, as he puts the clown shoes on. And that's before Louis actually gets there.
Yeah. I just forgot that part, because he's like rolling over. He like screams at one point.
He's going nuts.
Does a backflip.
The sauce.
Yeah, onto the couch. Or not the couch, the bed. Yeah. So then we get this, like, I guess this is the third location, this final scene.
Oh, man, it's great, because like he's dressed up like a clown and Mimi comes in and she's like, why, Mr. Gums, you're so handsome. And she kisses him on the mouth and that like transports him and puts clown makeup all over his face.
Yeah. This part is like straight up surreal.
It's bonkers, because now we're under like the big top.
Yeah.
Talk about killer clowns.
Well, yeah, it. Weird thing, but it kind of gave me like an Extro vibe.
Okay. I guess I could completely.
Do you
see
know
that.
What I'm saying? Yep. Not necessarily the movie itself.
It's the isolated shot.
It's the isolated the shot. Lights. Yeah. And the backlights. And it's just bizarre the way that it's like acted and like put together.
I've never seen Extro, but I'll say it kind of reminded me of Dumbo a little bit.
Kind of.
Or, you know, if you've been to the circus, but I will watch that now. And, I will get that reference.
If you've
eventually.
Seen Dumbo, you'll be prepared for Extra.
Oh, okay.
Very,
great.
Very
great.
Similar.
It's got big ears that can make it fly, obviously. Shoots peanuts out of its nose. Fly,
walks backwards.
Okay.
Extra flies through the air,
Oh, okay.
With his ears. No.
Isn't that him back there?
No, that's Singenor.
Oh, man. Nobody assassinate me in my chair. I'm trying. But
you gotta give Mr. Singenor his due.
Yeah, you're right. I gotta see both of them now, God damn it. But and he kind of just he looks lost, like he doesn't even know. And now Mimi and Peter both have like rosy cheeks, kind of clown makeup ass.
They're throwing glitter and shit, and they're like, you're a master showman, Mr. Gums.
Yeah, it's like, is this a dream or like a nightmare?
Both?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
You gotta go make them laugh, Mr. Gums. Yeah. Come on.
You hear like weird applause in the background.
And he's like a clown now, and he's like,
oh, he's got like a sign and he's spinning in a circle.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if he was actually at the barbecue imagining this.
I think he is at the barbecue.
Well, he gets in his car to go to the barbecue.
Mr. Gums, your car's arrived.
Car's here. Yeah. They like move out of the way. It's this tiny little goofy
clown
car.
Oh, I was rolling. I couldn't believe, I was like, man. Every scene, they make this like funnier and funnier and funnier. And I kind of forgot for a hot minute that this was a Tales episode, even though it still felt like one.
Yeah.
And then he hesitates for a second. And then he's like, gets in it and just starts driving it away. And I'm thinking, like, the real thing that's actually happening here, like, is like, what are people thinking while they're watching this idiot think he's a clown?
Ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans, we're going to have a good time. Barbecue
does the usual thing, and he's just nothing changed. He's doing his thing. Now he's in clown makeup.
But I think Sean nailed it. Like, he now fully sees himself as he really is.
Yeah.
And it's pretty...
It's what he gets.
Pretty insane.
Would you say the shoes did fit?
They totally did fit. They fit so well they couldn't come off.
He's trying hard. He's like Kramer in that episode of Seinfeld with the blue jeans. Can't get them off. He needs Jerry to rip them off him.
So what do we think about this episode?
I like this a lot, honestly. This might be my favorite episode of the season, straight up.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Your favorite so far?
I think it's either this or The Odds.
Okay.
I think The Odds is a better episode in the sense of it gives you all the tales elements. Mm. But I don't know, man. I always love a good comedy, and I hate to keep saying it, but making fun of politicians in this way, with this actor, with the whole clown gimmick, is just like the funniest fucking thing in the world to me, because it's just... It shows them for their true colors. Now, obviously, I'm not going to get in a whole political side tangent, but like, there's politicians maybe that doesn't apply to, but so many over the decades, centuries, are this man.
Most of them.
Yeah. So I thought it was a really good spoof on that concept in the Tales from the Dark Side universe. And might not be the best episode. I think Chris was telling me a stat earlier that maybe other people don't think so at all.
Yeah, this is actually like the lowest rated episode.
I don't get that. 4.5
out of 10.
That kind of blows my mind, because I like this one a lot. And I don't know what else I could say. It's definitely in my top five so far.
It's, for what it is, it's like, usually I'm not a big fan of the like the silly or the goofy ones. I like this one because of how goofy and just, it's just stupid it is. It's like the guy, also the actor, he's like, he carries this whole episode.
Oh, 100%.
It's just like a treat to watch this guy and just this obnoxious politician guy. But it's fun. It's a good, silly, goofy episode. I like it.
It's great. And like, as funny as it is, there is an underlying thread of dread running through the entire thing.
Sure.
And I think that's why it really works. Like, it's funny just because, like, you know, like Dick Shawn is funny, but and like all the stuff with him, like boozing it up and putting the clothes on and shit is hilarious. And his one-liners and stuff. But like, there are some legitimately weird, creepy scenes in this. Again, like the POV of the guy taking the clothes, when we zap in and out of like his delirium. Is very shocking. And even like when he has the realization that he might be going crazy, or maybe that he's just drunk and hallucinating or whatever it might be. I don't know, for an Italian guy to fucking nail the political satire of America is pretty hilarious to me. And like, is that what foreigners see when they look at our politics?
I mean, if we're seeing it, I would have to imagine that they're seeing it too.
So, I fucking hate politics. I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not for either side or anything. I think it's all a bunch of bullshit, and this is very on brand for my opinions of all that stuff. And it ties these weird supernatural elements together with something that shouldn't be creepy.
Yeah.
Or weird.
Yeah. And I do like that, you know, not to keep beating the point home, but it's like you said, that existential dread throughout.
Yeah, and that too. Yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to say.
Okay, but at the end, it's not a happy ending, but like, you don't give a shit because fuck this guy, kind of like the pilot almost.
But now he's like he's even more so blissfully ignorant.
Wow,
you know what I mean? Because now, not only
is he at the barbecue doing clown tricks, throwing bowling pins in the air,
not only
he's driving off into the darkness in his clown car.
Well, you know, it's a joke, and I like a good joke. But when it's a joke and it's a bad joke, it becomes a joke. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Weirdly enough, I do.
He doesn't realize he's an asshole at first, and then realizes an asshole, and then totally fucking owns,
completely embraces,
and then completely embraces it.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's If the Shoes Fit. And until next time, I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans, we're gonna have a good time. We'll be right back.
from the dark side is always there, waiting for us to watch it, waiting for us to hit play. Until next time, try to find it on DVD and watch along with us.